Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of Trading Conversations, and I'm your host Philip Teo. You are here, my friend, because you believe that profitable trading is one of the most efficient ways to attain financial freedom and can be achieved as long as you are willing to put in the hard work to develop your trading competency. Our goal with this show is to introduce you to the traders who have dug through the trenches and emerged at the other end. From the sharing of their trading stories, strategies, workflow, and best practices, I hope to help you shorten your learning curve as you embark on your journey towards trading mastery. The upcoming interview you will be listening to is part of the online trading summit that we organized and hosted previously. Possibly Asia's first virtual trading conference, I invited more than 32 global trading experts to share their trading knowledge with more than 25,000 traders from around the world. So sit back and enjoy. Welcome to Online Trading Summit. Do you know that there are actually different stages you need to progress through before becoming a consistently profitable trader? If you have been experiencing fluctuating progress on your trading journey, this upcoming presentation is going to help you understand what your issues might be and how to overcome them. Hi, I'm Philip Teo, your host for Online Trading Summit 2019, and I'm excited to introduce to you Mike Bellafiore and Dr. Brett Steenbarger, our co-presenters for this session. If you are an avid reader of trading books, both these gentlemen should be very familiar to you. Mike is the co-founder of SMB Capital, a proprietary trading firm in New York City, and SMB Training, its trader education division. He is also the author of the trading classic One Good Trade and the Playbook. As an international lecturer, Mike has built trader training programs globally for hedge funds, prop trading desks, and retail traders, while personally coaching selective elite traders outside his firm. Brett, on the other hand, is a teaching professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at sunny Upstate Medical University in New York. Over the years, Brett has written many classic trading books like The Psychology of Trading, Enhancing Trader Performance, The Daily Trading Coach, and Trading Psychology 2.0. On top of that, Brett works as a performance coach for a variety of portfolio management and trading firms, including SMB Capital. And that explains why we have Mike and Brett co-presenting in this session today. All right, I hope this short introduction is making you all excited to get the session started. And with that, it's my pleasure to welcome our summit speakers for this session, Mike Bellafiore and Dr. Brett Steenbarger. Hey, Mike and Brett, thank you for joining us at Online Trading Summit.
Thank you. It's great to be here. We appreciate your inviting us.
We are coming to you from Midtown Manhattan. So if you hear any sirens in the background, we're safe. That's just the normal course of business in New York City.
Now they're coming after us, Mike.
Not yet.
By the end of the presentation, they'll be coming after us.
I see. All right, it's really wonderful to have you guys on board the summit to share with the participants the best practices of trading from a professional proprietary trading and coaching angle. Just so that these summit participants get to know a little bit about the both of you, can you share a little bit on how your trading journey started? And Mike, maybe you would like to start first, followed by Brett thereafter.
Yeah, so I was in law school and I had an epiphany that I really didn't want to be a lawyer. And so I started looking for other things to do. I had friends from home who got into day trading, electronic trading. And they cornered me at a party in New York City one day and talked to me about this great job of active trading and how people were doing really well. And so I took the bar, passed the bar, then immediately took our Series 7, which is our financial exam, started at a firm where I was fully backed and had proprietary technology. And I did that for about a decade, and then had another epiphany that I wanted to do something different than what I had been doing. And so my best friend from home, Steve Spencer, and I started SMB Capital. And a great deal of that success comes from the fact that they have tremendous resources at the firm, like, you know, the best trading coach that I know, Dr. Brett Steenbarger, who works with these traders to push them to get better. And the culture here, even for guys who are seven-figure traders, is how am I going to get better today? How am I going to do better next month? And let me plan that out and work with great resources like Dr. Steenbarger about how to do that. Just today, before we actually got a chance to talk to you, we were in some of our monthly meetings where we're sitting down with very successful active traders who run teams and junior traders on their teams, and we are mapping out how they can do better, what they did well from last month, and working through that. And Dr. Steenbarger sitting in on those meetings and helping to assist the traders to get better. And I'll just say before Dr. Steenbarger talks, and we've known each other for a while now, that the thing that people think about you that you do for firms like us is that you fix all of our brains, that you eradicate all the craziness that we all have as
all
as
the
traders.
Psychotic disorders.
Yes,
yeah.
All the psychotic disorders. And he will do some of that, but mostly what Dr. Steenbarger does for our traders is help them to identify their edge.
Cool. So we will unlock some of those closet secrets later on. But for now, let's let Brett have a sharing with us. How did a psychiatrist or a psychologist like him get into the trading arena? I mean, it's something that is really quite interesting. And could you share about that?
I certainly will, but I'm not sure I want to unlock my closet secrets. But I developed an interest in financial markets in the late 1970s when I was in graduate school, and stayed involved in markets ever since. But my main work has always been as a psychologist. I went full-time at a medical school on the faculty in 1985 and ran a counseling program for medical students and residents and taught in the medical school and did research. In 2003, I decided to put my interest in markets together with my interest in psychology, and I wrote my first book, The Psychology of Trading. And to my surprise, it became popular, and a firm in Chicago hired me to work full-time with their traders, and that began my career in coaching. I've stayed involved in teaching at the medical school, but have since gotten involved with proprietary trading firms like SMB, hedge funds, asset management firms, quantitative firms, a number of different trading organizations. It's been a great journey. It's taught me a lot about what makes for success.
I see. Fantastic. So would you guys like to just share a little bit how you guys came together and how did you guys start working together to turn SMB into a better proprietary or very widely worldwide recognized kind of a proprietary trading firm?
So when we were putting together our training programs at the beginning of SMB, we became aware of Dr. Steenbarger's work. And Steve and I reached out to Dr. Steenbarger and said, hey, will you come in and scrub what we're doing with our guys right now? And he graciously came in and took a look at the training that we are offering and made lots of suggestions and made himself available to some of our traders. And you know, from there, we communicated regularly and sought feedback from him as to what we can do better. And the relationship grew from there.
Yes, absolutely. I'll just add one other component. SMB is the only proprietary trading firm I work with on any kind of regular basis. And the reason, and that's been the case for a number of years, and the reason for that is because Mike and Steve take the learning and development process so seriously. There are many vendors out there, and I'm sure you know about them, Philip, who offer quote unquote trader education. And they teach a few setups, chart patterns, and that's it. That is not education, that is not training. I work with training medical students. I know what it takes to reach levels of competence. And it was because Mike and Steve took that seriously that I became excited and interested in working with them.
I see. I'm sure both of you are all ready to impart to the summit participants the psychology behind growing a trading business, both from a proprietary trading firm point of view and maybe from, let's say, a part-time retail trader as well. Now, to the summit participants watching this video right now, I'm sure you are just as eager as me to learn from Mike and Brett. But before we head into that, I'd like to take a moment to thank and introduce you to our summit sponsor.
Steve and Dave use eToro to invest in the financial markets. Steve does research on global investment opportunities. Dave does research on how to become a level 60 wizard. Steve follows the feed for the latest market news. Dave follows the feed for the latest cat videos. Steve has a watch list for promising investments. Dave has a watch list too. So why is Dave just as good an investor as Steve? It's because Dave used eToro's copy trader to automatically replicate Steve's trading activity. Whenever Steve makes a trade, Dave does too. Yes. Trade like a Steve with eToro, the world's leading social trading platform.
Okay, thank you very much. Today we have a very special opportunity to talk about the psychology of growing your trading business, growing you as a trader. As we shall see, a key idea is that how you structure your learning and development process will determine the odds of your success. You can take shortcuts and reduce your odds. You can do it the right way and increase your odds. And we will be discussing with you, based on actual experience with actual developing traders in a proprietary trading firm and my own experience working with developing traders in hedge funds, we will describe for you step by step the process that has worked best as far as creating expertise in trading. So let's begin with the idea of stages in performance development. Now, I would argue that these stages occur in any performance field. You could be a chess player, you could be an athlete, you could be a trader. There are distinct stages, and what you do is going to be different in each stage to further your development. The first stage is a novice stage, and that's where you're learning the basics. How do financial markets operate? What's a bid? What's an offer? What does volume mean when volume increases on a move? What does that actually mean when we have levels, price levels that are deemed to be significant? What does that mean? Where does that come from? These are all some of the basics of trading. And we need to learn those basics before we really know what we are doing in financial markets. It is at this stage that many people who offer quote unquote trading education fail. What they start with is what they call setups. They teach chart patterns or different kinds of relationships of variables and encourage young traders, developing traders, to trade off those. So there'll be some very quick identification and sharing of these setups, and right away the developing traders go into trading. Now think for a moment how absolutely crazy that is. Suppose, I teach in a medical school, suppose we had a medical student and we taught the medical student a few basic maneuvers about cutting a body open, about taking vital signs. And right away, we show them those basics and send them in to do surgery. What would happen? Of course, they would fail, and the patient would fail. That's exactly what happens with many developing traders. In fact, research from Brad Barber and his associates finds that the percentage of independent traders who succeed in day trading is in the low single digits. That's really incredible. 95, 96, 97, 98% of all independent individual traders who try to become successful end up losing money on a year over year over year basis. The reason is not because they're stupid, and the reason is not because it is impossible to make money. The reason is because they skip the novice stage. They skip learning the basics, and they start trying to trade without having a real grasp of what they're doing. And as a result, they lose money, and they end up disappointed. So the beginning part of performance development, that novice stage, the person is not trading. They're learning about markets and how markets move and what makes markets unique and what movements in markets really mean. Now we get to the second stage, which is a stage of competence. Here's where we start trying out trading. And very often, as at SMB, this is in simulation mode. In other words, we're keeping score, we're placing actual trades, but not with real capital at work. We're practicing so that we can learn and make all of our mistakes without drawing down our money. The idea in the competence stage is to apply the knowledge, the information that we obtained during our novice phase, and develop some consistency, A, in identifying opportunity, and B, in actually trading that opportunity. And we practice trade and practice trade and practice trade, and we identify our mistakes, and we identify what we do right, and we figure out which markets work best for us, which trading strategies work best for us, which time frames work best for us. And when we identify our niche during this competence phase, we begin to establish some consistency in our performance numbers. All of this is before we are putting a single dollar at risk. It is in the expertise phase where we are building our trading, that we are going live and then growing our risk-taking, doing the very things that made us consistent in that earlier phase. So this is a real-time application of our learning. And once again, as here at SMB, there's an emphasis on rapidly identifying what am I doing well so that I can keep doing it, what am I doing that needs improvement, and how can I set goals for the next day, the next week, the next month that will move me forward in my performance. Mike?
Well, when I think about stages at SMB, I think about a foundation. So, you know, when I'm asked this question, what are the stages in performance? I'll say, well, first there's foundation. For us, that means there's two training programs that people take, SMB DNA and the Winning Trader. And then the next stage that people go through is sampling, which I think a lot of retail traders don't embrace fully. So lots of independent retail traders want to go to one coach, one educator, one place, learn a few setups, absorb them, apply them, and go ahead and become rich. And if that doesn't occur, they make one of two conclusions. One, either the person that they learned from is a fraud or they themselves aren't good enough to be traders. And what we see at our desk is different from that, which is that people are exposed and trying and sampling lots of different types of setups. So even though we are mostly active short-term traders, there's lots of different types of ways to attack markets as short-term active traders. And they sample with setups that traders on the desk have traded with Edge and get experience with them and then for themselves figure out which ones they think are best for them. And so they go through that stage. And then as they're going through the sampling stage, and there's a really good book about this idea written by David Epstein called Range. There's this myth out there that's developed probably since Tiger Woods has become so great that you start doing something at age two, focus on it, that's how you become really great at something. And the book is about how, no, actually the better course to get to expertise is if you want to be a great musician, is to play a lot of different instruments, and only when you're older should you focus on the one instrument that you think you become great at. If you want to be an elite athlete, play lots of different sports, and only when you're older, focus on the one sport that you think you have talent in and are exceeding in. And so we are doing that here as well. We are sampling different types of setups. The next stage is acclimation to technology. We've got great technology here. Guys need to learn how to build filters. They need to build scripts. They need to build models so that they're supplementing their idea generation and their edge. And then the next stage is being consistently profitable. And then the next stage is breadth. And then the next stage is advanced breadth. That's why we have Dr. Steenbarger. Today we were talking about with two of our top traders, the structuring of particular options trades on trades that they were risking hundreds of thousands of dollars in this month and had results on them. And so you will notice that, in between consistently profitable and breadth is sizing. And at each point along the curve, we want to be trying to win that stage. And there is a different focus, a different daily routine that goes into how you actually go about winning that stage.
If I could just jump in with one comment, Mike, that idea of sampling different strategies, so important, because that's how you're going to find out what your strengths are and how those sync up or don't sync up with the particular market, particular time frame, particular strategy that you're looking at. But if you're going to sample different strategies, that implies that you need to have multiple mentors. You have to have people who can show you these different strategies. And so just to try to copy one person is not optimal for your learning curve. You want to see what many different people are doing successfully, and then synthesize that ultimately into your own style.
Let me follow up there. So I think one of the things that I can offer from my seat in the trading community is to share, hey, who's doing well here at SMB? And then we do work with some people outside the firm. Who are these elite traders? Why are these elite traders doing particularly well? And so I will, on the topic that you raised, Dr. Steenbarger, fill in a story about the very last trader who earned a green shirt for the first time at our firm. So at our firm, if you make $1 million net in P&L for the year, you earn a green shirt. And the trader who just earned a green shirt last year for the first time, when he first started his trading career, he was with a different coach than he has now. And he was trading different strategies than he trades now.
Right.
And he was flailing. Super talented. I still remember the first time I ever met him. And the type of person who, when you meet right away, you just know this is a different level of intelligence and bandwidth and drive than other people. And he was flailing. And it was, you know, a good 9-12 months into his trading career. And we had to switch his coach. We had to get him trading different types of setups that better met his skill set. And when he did, and only when he did he start to get on the right track to be doing better. And something else happened, which was magical for the firm, which is the coach who ended up helping him get on the right track, that coach, his trading, completely started to improve as well. He took that coach to a completely higher level. So finding that right niche, being embracing the need to sample, that maybe you're not gonna get things right away. And then even when you get some things right, to keep building, independent retail traders can do more of that, would be wise to do more of that.
I think you're next. Okay, so a couple of key ideas here. The first one is that mentoring and coaching needs vary according to the stage of development that you are at. So what you need from a mentor and coach in the very beginning phase, that novice phase, very different from when you've developed some expertise. What that implies is that success, expertise, consists of multiple learning curves. You have a learning curve as a novice, you have an intermediate learning curve when you're developing your competence, and you have a new learning curve as an expert trader. And so you want to think through, where am I at in my trading career, in my trading process, and what are the needs that I have right here, right now? Many, many traders fail because they are not doing what they need to be doing at their particular juncture in their learning process. Often they're jumping ahead, trying to learn many different things, trying to bump up their sizing very quickly, trying to take shortcuts to that expertise level, when in fact they need to solidify their more basic skills. The other reason that this is necessary is because, unlike certain performance arenas, markets, financial markets, are always changing. If I'm a basketball player, I know that the dimensions of the basketball court are going to stay the same from game to game and year to year. The height of the rim is going to stay the same from game to game, year to year. But financial markets can differ tremendously from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. And so that also ensures that we need time to go through each of our stages, and it ensures that we will constantly go through a learning process. I've worked with developing traders in professional trading firms of different kinds, and I have never seen one who has developed both consistency and high profitability in a period of less than a year or even more than a year. Traders who are attempting to shortcut the learning process by trading, putting their capital at risk within a few weeks or a few months of starting their learning, are really shortchanging themselves.
We've taught one over the course of, since 2005, we've taught one trader, only one, since 2005, who made over $1 million in his first year. Super talented, almost a prodigy, yeah. But one. And so I want to talk about your thought about being in certain stages. And so we've got, you can't see this, but we actually have a lot of people in the room who are interns and newer traders and guests. And they're furiously taking notes for everything Dr. Steinberger is saying. But one of the things that all the guys in the room need to be doing is having a daily routine that centers around how they're going to improve daily to figure out what kind of trades they're going to be taking, how they're going to be building their playbook. The second book I wrote is called The Playbook, and it's this idea of how you build your trading business. And so I mentioned before that one of the things that I do is and one of the things I started doing in 2018 is working with some select people outside the firm. Dr. Steenbarger works with some of the more sophisticated traders in the world. So on a significantly smaller scale, there's a handful of people that I work with outside the firm, and I do that to grow. I do that so I can offer our guys more and I can learn more. And that's been a great decision and been very rewarding. One of those particular people that I work with is a tremendous active trader, north of $4 million a year. And you know, I will come in to rooms that we're sitting in right here, and I will say to the newer guys, one of the things that you have to learn how to do to be an active intraday trader is to learn how to read the tape. And we will later today have a 12:30 meeting where we watch film back together of important tape from one of our junior guys. And guys need to record their screens, and you need to go back and watch the moments that are most important in the stocks you're trading to see the nuances that led to these big moves. And so when I say that, and I can tell you recently that one of our junior guys was going over a big trade that he made. I was sitting in the back, trying not to say anything, just observing. And he's going over this big trade in Roku, and it makes this huge move away from price. And I've just got to chime in here. And I say to the trader, whoa, 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 that's a perfect example right there of tape you need to be going back and watching and seeing why that actually moved away from price so aggressively, and see if you can catch the nuances to that. And if you do not believe me, one of the people that I work with, this one terrific trader, the very thing he's working on right now in his trading to get better from where he's at is watching back tape. He slices it up of the very important moments in the stocks that he's trading. And so, you know, when we talk about stages, we need to be thinking about winning stages. When we talk about winning stages, we need to be doing things like that. You want to be consistently profitable, and one of the skills you need to learn is reading the tape. Part of your daily routine needs to be watching back more tape than just in real time. Because that's what other guys who are great are doing. And they are, and we talked about this today, the guys that are great, they are different. They burn differently than the average trader. They take it more personally, it upsets them more. You said something today, which I'll share with guys. Good is not good enough. Every day, good is not good enough. Don't come in to a monthly meeting and say, I did good. That's not good enough. These guys, when they underperform, it really bothers them, and they immediately come up with solutions to get better. And so that is, and it stands out. Their drive and their commitment to solutions.
Just a quick addition to that, two of the key skills involved in active short-term trading. One is pattern recognition. The other is speed and breadth of perception. Successful traders recognize patterns quickly, and they are watching a number of different areas of opportunity for those patterns. In any field, pattern recognition is a function of exposure. It's a function of repetition. When medical students decide they're going to go into radiology, how do they learn how to read the scans, the x-ray scans, the CAT scans, so forth. How do they learn to read it? Well, they look at one after another, after another, after another, and they pick up on patterns. There's a huge amount of practice and repetition before they actually become experts. And so that's what Mike is talking about. The successful traders aren't just viewing markets, they are reviewing markets. They are going back on tape and watching what happened in markets, how it's set up, what they could have done differently. They're getting many more reps than the average trader by viewing and reviewing and viewing and reviewing, and they become expert at pattern recognition.
There's a really good book, The Sports Gene, that talks about this with athletes. And so they studied elite hitters and elite tennis players. So if you're a tennis player and somebody's serving, you've got to return 140 mile an hour serve. And so, you know, how do you do that? And if you're a baseball batter, somebody 60 feet, 6 inches away is throwing 100 miles an hour at you. How do you hit that? And so when people were first studying these elite athletes, the thought was, well, their reflexes must be superior to the average athlete. And it turned out when they studied these elite athletes that that wasn't true at all. Their reflexes are actually no better than the average pretty good athlete. It turned out that what they had learned to do is they learned how to decipher the pattern as to where the ball was going to go. By watching the pitcher's motion or the server serve. And if you take that same elite major league baseball batter like Albert Pujols, who can hit, back in the day, 100 mile an hour fastball, when you put him in front of a softball pitcher like Jenny Finch, and she throws underhand, and she's not throwing any harder than the, and she's throwing a ball that's bigger, he literally can't hit it. And it's because he doesn't have the pattern recognition skills to hit an underhand softball. And so, you know, as a trader, sometimes you sit there and you're like, oh, the market's moving too quickly, or I didn't see this, or I didn't see that important news from the tape that would have helped me get into a particular trade. It's because you don't yet have the skills to be able to identify the information that's important, but you can build it.
One last idea. Something I mentioned in one of my books. In any performance field, expert performers spend more time practicing than they do actually performing. Think of Olympic athletes. Think of chess champions. They spend more time practicing, and that's what gives that pattern recognition. They spend more time practicing than actually formally performing. For many developing traders, the reverse is the case. They spend their time trading, sitting in front of the screens, and then when the market closes, what do? They meet me at the bar. But they're not practicing. They're not spending the time practicing. And that is a main reason they don't pick up the patterns. It's a main reason they don't pick up the expertise. Should we jump ahead?
Yes.
Let me just quickly mention here with this one. You know, I teach at a medical school. I see how physicians develop. Physicians go through a novice, a competence, an expertise stage, just like traders. But with physicians, they rotate to different services. So they'll spend a certain amount of time in internal medicine, a certain amount of time in pediatrics, a certain amount of time in psychiatry, and so forth. And they're learning in groups. The senior medical students are teaching the junior medical students. The junior residents are teaching the senior medical students. The attending physicians are teaching the senior residents. And so the slogan becomes, each one teach one. It turns out that learning curves are steepened, are hastened. We go through our learning curve much more quickly and effectively when we learn from multiple sources. And we improve our learning not only when we absorb from others, but when we teach others. And so all of this is prefatory to the point that some of the best learning and development occurs in team settings. Think about Olympic teams, think about sports teams. Because each one teach what everyone is giving everyone else feedback, everyone is learning from each other's experience. This is something that we can do by connecting with other traders, by operating within trading communities. A major point here is that a great way to sabotage our development is to take too much risk too quickly. An important part of the psychology of development is the cultivation of confidence. As we're learning, we need to feel competent. We need to feel in control. We need to feel that we are moving forward. And it's that internalized sense of competence that helps us eventually take the significant levels of risk to make meaningful amounts of money. What that means is we have to be very, very, very good at risk management. Because if we don't avoid blow-ups, we end up traumatizing ourselves, setting ourselves back psychologically, and we don't develop that competence and confidence. And so risk management keeps us in the game and allows us to develop and internalize a sense of mastery that eventually helps us with risk taking. What that also means is that failures, trades that don't work out, have to be planned. In other words, we know in advance how much we're risking, and we normalize failure. We know that many, many, many successful traders don't have much different from a 50-50 win rate. And so we want to expect that we're going to make mistakes. We expect that trades won't work out. We normalize that so that it doesn't throw us psychologically. In any learning process, first we observe something being done, then we have others observe us doing it and trying it, and finally we try it independently on our own. The purpose of observing it and having others observe us before we do it on our own is to build the sense of mastery.
So I think we've both written about this. So, well, how do you build confidence? And we've both written about the idea of small wins. People who have won in the past get used to winning. And so, good thing to do is set a small goal for yourself that you can accomplish, an accomplishment, and then go from there. Small wins, small wins, small wins. We were sitting in a meeting today where, and I think sometimes people think professional experienced traders always get things right, always guess things right, always predict things right. Man, if I could just be that senior experienced trader who has a house in the Hamptons and a beautiful family and a Ferrari, I don't know what people drive these days. I drive a Honda Pilot myself, which we love, and our family with my two kids.
Smart car.
But they feel like that's going to make them happy, and that's the place that they want to get with their life. The experienced traders that we work with, yes, they have a lot of those things, but their trading oftentimes is met with challenges, with bumps. We were talking to one of our best traders, if not our best trader here this morning, who was up $400,000 this month, walked in on kind of a bad break and was down $200,000 on a swing position and was talking about how he could have handled that position better overall. And, you know, Dr. Steenbarger said, look, next time that happens to you, give me a call and let's have a reset. Let's talk you through that. But those things happen to people who are really succeeding and growing. We had a conversation with a junior trader who doubled his risk, you know, certainly succeeding as a trader overall. One of the people who is making it and doubled his risk overall, and this month was flat, and was talking about how he was making more on his best days, but losing too much. And we were talking through, and he had made some corrections to his trading system from smaller size that he realized he had to get rid of. And then we were talking to another trader who I was trying to push to risk a different amount on A++ trades, and so that he could maybe accelerate his learning curve and get used to risk a little bit more. And Dr. Steenbarger chimed in, sometimes certain people aren't wired to take on lots more risk. But the trader sort of said, I don't know if I'm really ready for that. And, you know, independently wanted to sort of take a step back. So there's a real process to how experienced traders are trading bigger. And a lot of that is making mistakes, going through the experience, feeling, as you have written about, feeling the heavier weights, getting used to the heavier weights, it hurting. It hurts at first to lift the heavier weights. Sometimes they fall on you. Sometimes you need somebody like Dr. Steenbarger to pick them off you to take that next step.
So why does teamwork work in the learning process? Why should you not be isolated as a developing trader? One is the power of social learning, which means that we learn not only from our experience, but the experience of others. Mike and Steve at SMB have been instrumental in having the traders share their report cards, share their monthly reviews and their goals. So everyone has the opportunity, particularly within teams, to learn with each other and from each other. Teams also offer the power of social support. There are always setbacks in learning. There are always setbacks in trading. When you have teammates that you're close to, who you care about, you offer them support, they offer you support, you're learning from them, they're learning from you, and that keeps you going, that keeps your energy high, even when things aren't going well. Ultimately, that helps make learning fun. Now, this is a very important point because it turns out that our positive emotional experience, what's called our well-being, in the psychology research is linked to A, our creativity, B, our productivity, and C, our learning. When we are in a positive mindset, we absorb more information. When we're in a negative mindset, we become self-preoccupied and we don't take in information. And so in a team setting, if we can make learning fun, if we structure processes in engaging ways, ultimately we're going to learn more and we're going to learn faster.
So one of the teams we've been talking a lot about internally is Team Dan. And we have been recognizing their potential, I think, before a lot of other people. So we have other partners at the firm. And I've been saying, watch Team Dan, watch Team Dan. Team Dan's going to be one of the top teams. And I can see and hear the other partners at the firm and principals at the firm kind of scoffing at me like, it's just not in the P&L, Mike. Like, what are you talking about? And I'm actually to myself thinking, they just don't understand. And like, I know where this team's gonna be in a year, and I know they're gonna be at the top, and I guess I just will wait till they actually get there and they can sort of recognize that we've been right all along. And so, and this month was a month where they were at the top. And they still have lots of upside to go from there. Each of those individual traders are better because they work together. The junior traders are better because they have a role model who has edge, who is pushing them and exposing them to edge. And that senior trader is doing better because he's getting access to more ideas. He's getting access to junior traders, and there's some junior traders in the room, so listen up. The junior traders are helping build technology to help Dan be able to express his edge bigger and broader. And when they're working together and kicking around ideas, they're coming up with new ways to make money. So one of the ways that they actually got to a new level is by doing very specific things to find new edge. And so that idea of working together. One thing I want to ask you. So okay. There are retail independent traders out there listening to us here. And one of the things I've always noticed about you is that you're constantly reaching out to people. And one of the things that I do wherever I go is I leave time where I say, I'm going to be in this city, reach out to me, I'm happy to meet. And I think lots of times people are like, you really did have time to meet? And I'm like, that's why I wrote that tweet and made that invitation. And so I think independent retail traders sit there and they're like, well, I don't have the resources of a prop firm and I can't work with all these really great, ambitious traders together in the same room. And they kind of just stop. Whereas what you role model really well is that you can create virtual teams or you can reach out to other people and really build your network.
Yes. And you know, there are so many trading communities that are forming. There are so many ways to link with people online who are really good people, people who have strengths similar to ours, interests, skills similar to ours. We can create virtual teams. We can create online teams just like we have teams internally at SMB. And that can create the social support and that can make the learning fun. I'll just mention really quickly that at hedge funds, talent grows at the desk. Beginning traders start as assistants, helping the hedge fund portfolio manager do what they're doing, and then grow in gradually into becoming a partner. A huge part of the learning process is talking aloud every day what you're doing, why you're doing it. Having the portfolio manager, the mentor, talk aloud what they're doing, why they're doing it, and review at the end of the day, at the end of the week, what we did, why we did it, what worked, what didn't work. Every single day, that talking out loud and learning from a mentor absorbs and creates an enhanced learning environment so that Brad Barber's research, as I mentioned, is that only 1, 2, 3, 4% of independent traders succeed. At hedge funds where I work, that number is easily closer to 50-50. It's a massive difference between learning in a structured environment with the right kind of teamwork, the right kind of practice, versus just winging it on one's own. Our challenge as independent traders is to create as much of that kind of environment as possible. Ultimately, when we act as a mentor, we're creating a win-win because we are learning from the people we are mentoring, and we are also reinforcing our own learning. At those funds, they separate what I would call coaching from mentoring, so that mentors are not bogged down by the day-to-day kind of needs of the developing trader. And so a lot of that is the work that I do, more on the psychological side, and also to help their learning process, so that you're not always needing to go to a mentor to get the help that you would want. That integration of the coaching and mentoring, which is a big part of what we do here at SMB, again, can very much accelerate the learning curve, increase the odds of success. But it's back to that same point. How we structure our learning process will determine the odds of our success.
And I want to focus on our slides here a little bit right now and make a couple points. So this is a slide, a picture of Shark receiving his black shirt from last year. You get a black shirt for making $2 million net in a year in trading profits, and he actually made much more than that. And this is a picture of Swang receiving his first black shirt, and you can see how happy he is. The way that the guys have grown here is for them to understand, measure, and build from their strengths. And so, you know, the Swang is a really good example of that. And the way that he became a standout trader was by doing something that lots of people will tell you is not the way that you can make a lot of money, scalping. If you ever have an edge in trading markets, no matter what it is, don't let anyone minimize that. Here, we want to build from what we're doing well. And Swang just happens to be somebody who is a very quick thinker. You know, off the charts processing power. And we were sitting in a monthly review with Swang going over his month, and he was doing a bunch of longer term type of trading, excuse me, as he's growing as a trader, which is fine, and we encourage that. But we were also saying, excuse me, we were also saying that, you know, let's not forget why you're so good. And I remember Dr. Steenbarger saying to Swang, your trading is world class. Yep. His strength is processing information very quickly. And we want to recognize that, cultivate that, and grow from that. And so whatever you're doing well at, do more of that. However you've been successful at the past, think of why you were successful and incorporate that into your trading. People become great at trading when they're doing special type of trading, when they're tapping into their special, unique gifts.
Great point. It's a great point. Let me wrap up just with really emphasizing that the odds are good that there is something that you do, some skill that you have that approaches world class. It's going to be different for all of us. The question, if you're going to become an expert trader, is how can you harness whatever skills and competencies you have that are world class, how can you harness them and leverage them in your trading? You're going to succeed by leveraging your strengths, what you're really good at. And when you do that, trading will be rewarding, it will be fun, because you're doing what comes best to you and most naturally to you.
Hey, Mike and Brett, that was a very great presentation and sharing about the kind of expertise that you have gone through, and especially on those traders that you have worked with before and what they have actually shown that further illustrate the examples that you have given. So I'm sure it was a pretty enlightening session for the summit participants. Now, as I was watching you guys discussing to and fro in terms of those kind, those important aspects, especially things like the kind of having a team to work together, the kind of psychology that a trader needs to have and the stages a trader needs to think about before you actually progress from one level to another. So those are the things that you actually mentioned, and some thoughts actually came to my mind, especially when I was trying to put myself in the shoes of an independent trader trying to grow and become a competent a proficient and profitable trader from there. So I have some questions along the way, which I actually jotted down. So let's get into the Q&A segment now so that I can get you guys to actually try to clarify and elaborate a bit further, shall we?
Great.
All right, so I just want to get the context right, because I understand that SMB has, based on what I know, has always been pretty much of a prop trading firm that focuses more towards active day trading. So if that is the case, I would suppose that the context of what you guys have been discussing would be from the context of active day trading, right? And if that's the case, would pretty much all of those things that you mentioned early on, would it be applicable if, let's say, a trader, firstly, is not a full-time trader, is a part-time trader, and maybe if he focuses more towards the swing trading or position trading time frame, would whatever that you guys just mentioned earlier on in your presentation still be applicable?
Now, the specific skills that you'll work on will be different, obviously, if you're an active day trader versus a longer-term investor. Just like the skills that a psychiatrist develops are different than the skills that a surgeon develops, but they go through the same learning processes as physicians. The structure remains the same. The principles of learning remain the same.
I see. So I can recall that earlier on during the presentation, you mentioned that there's three different stages: the novice stage, the competence stage, and the expertise stage. So now the question that I have in my mind, if I put myself in the shoe of a trader, is how do I know what stage am I at, whether I am ready to move on to the next stage? Is there something or some kind of guideline or indication that I know or anyone can tell me that I'm ready to move on? Is it purely based on your profitability, or is it based on a certain kind of mindset? What are some of the parameters and factors that you can use to establish whether you are ready to move on to the next stage?
Well, I think, and Mike can discuss this better than I can, actually. I think that that's part of the value of simulation trading, is that you get to practice and you see in real experience if you've truly learned the concepts in that novice phase, and if you are learning to develop good trading ideas and translate those in good risk-reward trades. And so your results in simulation trading will ultimately tell you, are you growing, are you learning, and ultimately, are you ready to go live and put real capital at risk?
I see. So Mike, could you elaborate on that? I mean, you have worked with many traders throughout your entire career. Is there something or a life cycle that you notice for the bulk of those traders who started new and have already made it? What is the typical life cycle like? What are the different stages that you notice are very distinctive for them?
So ideally, when we want to hire somebody at the firm, they intern with the firm, and they go through training while they are an intern. They're in college, and then they spend the summer with us, and we get a peek as to whether or not they fit in, whether or not they like the type of trading we're doing, and then ideally we'll have them back again for another internship, a senior internship, and we'll get a closer look as to what we think about them. And you know, while they're going through that internship, they're training, they are learning technology, and we're choosing from people that we've had a really good look at. And then when they come to the firm and we hire them, they still go through that period of sampling while they're trading live. So they're trading different types of setups while they're trading live over a period of 4 to 6 months. And after that period, we hope that they have identified a playbook, a niche for how they want to attack markets, and then they apply to join a team. The teams are different, and they then join a team. And then they start to work closely with the senior trader, get exposure to that senior trader's setups and the way that they think through trades. They participate to help the senior trader get better as well. And then they go from there.
Who are those, or what are the kind of those traders that came through that process, but at the end of it, they couldn't make it, they didn't make it, they didn't persist, they didn't continue, they weren't able to turn themselves into a competent and profitable trader. What are some of those traits that you might have noticed about them that they end up not being the competent and profitable ones? I'm sure not 100% of all of them will actually make it through and become very successful traders, right?
Yeah, I'd like to answer that, and I'll answer it in a really personal way, because at one time in my career, early on, I thought I would try trading full time. And in fact, I did trade full time, and I really worked hard at it, and I did make some money, and I hated it. I hated it because ultimately it didn't play to my greatest strengths, which are the strengths that brought me to psychology as a field. Many times people do not succeed at trading, not because they don't work hard enough or not because it's impossible, but because their strengths ultimately lie elsewhere. My strengths are more interpersonal, helping people, getting meaning and fulfillment out of being a part of other people's lives, and trading by myself in my office in front of a screen felt isolating. It didn't play to that strength, and ultimately that interfered with that ability to get through a stage of expertise. We're all wired to do what we find most fulfilling based on our strengths. And for some people, you try trading and maybe your strengths lie elsewhere. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think that's a very fantastic insight, Dr. Steinberger. So to elaborate further on that point, therefore, with so many traders that you guys have recruited and trained before, what are typically some of those key elements or characteristics that you might want to look for before you think that, okay, this guy stands a more than 50% chance of having the potential to become a good trader, or he might be a good fit to become a trader? What are some of those characteristics you might have noticed in the past? Either of you?
Yeah.
You want to take that?
No, you go.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So I just want to actually, if I might, I want to answer the last question. It's like I should go into politics.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just going to answer the question that I want to answer, okay?
Right, right.
And so I think that this study that you cited that talks about, you know, this X percent of people make it and lots of people don't make it, I find that study to be not particularly interesting to anyone who is thinking about getting into this if they're serious. And I will just say to you that when somebody doesn't make it at our firm, and there are people that don't make it at our firm, I will tell you what I tell them, which is we are one firm doing essentially one type of trading in one moment in time, in one location, in one moment in your life, in one moment in time in your life. And what that says about you is that the type of trading that we were doing at this moment for you at this time wasn't a good fit. And I don't know that means that you're not going to be a good trader. I don't know if that means that you wouldn't be a good trader in a different type of product or a different type of time frame. There have been people that have left our firm who have succeeded in different types of products and different types of time frames. And I don't think that says anything negative about us at all.
Right.
It's there is a very real need for you to match your talents with the type of trading you're doing. And I would just say this also, which is, as Dr. Steinberger said, that talent is a really big part of this. There's a talent for trading. There's a talent for doing the type of trading that we're doing. And if you don't have it, it doesn't mean you're not talented. It means that for whatever reason, the silly game that we play where the numbers move around the screens really quickly and there's real money at risk is not for you.
That's a really a good point, because I do personally notice as well is that the kind of talent that someone needs to have for doing active day trading is actually pretty different from another person who might have the talent to look at more strategic kind of trading strategies, or maybe even for those who might be more mathematical minded, maybe algorithmic trading or quantitative trading might even be better for them. So it's really about identifying the talents that you have that can further translate that into the trading arena. And I think that is something that a lot of traders might really need to think about. And I'm glad that you guys brought up that point. So I want to move on to this part where you mentioned the importance of teamwork. And I think that actually strikes a chord and a resonance with me as well. So could you probably elaborate a little bit more? What do you think would be an ideal kind of team setup for a budding trader to want to form, or maybe even with experienced trader? What would be the kind of ideal team setup to have? Is it like maybe like not more than 2 or 3 people, or is it like can it be in a group of 10 people? Is it too large? And what is the kind of experience level ideal for a team that you have seen according to your experience?
Hedge fund teams and teams here at SMB tend to be a handful of people. I think if they get too large, then people get lost in the shuffle. And usually the teams are headed by one or more senior people who have considerable experience to share. But one of the key elements, and you see this in the medical world, and you see this in the trading world, is that there are multiple teams. And so the developing trader has the opportunity to see what different teams are doing and learn different approaches to markets and opportunity, learn from multiple mentors. So an ideal setting from my perspective is one that has many teams and where you can learn from many different mentors.
Yes. So what's funny about Dr. Steenbarger is that I'll ask him a question. I'll be like, what do you think about this? What should we be doing in with this problem, and try and get his feedback? And he'll be like, well, I just took on a new client in London. I'm writing to you in London, and I'm working on this really cool new team. And you know, it seems as if whatever my problem is, and I'm asking him a question, he's working with some new, really cool hedge fund and institution and team all across the world. And so, you know, you see these most sophisticated teams winning and succeeding. You know, what are the winning teams doing that, you know, lesser teams aren't? And certainly here at SMB, we have teams that clearly are working better together than other teams.
Right, right. And you mentioned the success recently of Team Dan. So I think we can use that as a template. In that team, everyone is doing something to make everyone else better. It's a very important dynamic. It's not just a passive process where junior guys are absorbing things from a senior person. It's that some of the people on the team might have programming skills. Some of the people on the team have skills with a particular strategy. They blend different strengths. And so again, it's that idea of each one teach one. Everyone is pushing each other to get better. Everyone has something to offer to each other. That's what makes a team dynamic, and that's what moves a team forward as a group.
I see. And so I suppose that in a team setting itself, there is probably maybe a senior trader who is already very into the zone. Whenever he trades, he knows exactly what he needs to do. So is it possible that a trader could reach a plateau in terms of the way he trades, and what would happen thereafter? How can a trader who has reached a certain plateau continue to evolve and improve himself? Is it possible in any sense? How do the top traders at SMB actually handle that kind of situation?
Yes, it's a great question, Philip, and that routinely happens, that people hit a plateau, and sometimes the way they deal with that plateau is to bring on new team members. But they will bring on a team member who can broaden what they do. So let's say that there's a hedge fund team I'm working with currently where they brought on a couple of junior people who have programming and quantitative talent. And those junior people have identified some new areas of opportunity that the senior trader can now branch into. And so they deal with the plateau by expanding their learning curve, developing new sources of edge by leveraging the strengths of the junior people who are joining the team.
Yeah, we don't have that problem yet at SMB. We have guys in 2018, at the end of it, it was probably one of our better years. And at the end of the year, all the traders do a yearly review and they set yearly goals for the next year. And you know, one of our top traders in his yearly goals talked about how he wanted to become an eight-figure trader. And I was a little startled by that the first time I read it. And you know, so he was doing, you know, really well, but our guys still have lots of room to grow. And what I love about that, what I loved about reading that was, here's somebody who is just crushing it and outperforming his peers and the marketplace overall, and he is planning right now during periods of most success to do better. And he's not just saying, I want to become an eight-figure trader. He is mapping out concretely what he needs to do to get there. So I suppose one of these days we may have that issue where our guys are bumping up against a ceiling, but they don't think they're anywhere near that yet. There's two paths at SMB. So the first path is you intern. And you like us, we like you. You stand out amongst the other interns and we make an offer to you. The second path for, we call them transitioning professionals, is for you to go to our education company, SMB Training, and for you to take the training that our interns take. And so you take SMB DNA and you take the SMB The Winning Trader. And then you trade and build a track record. And after that, you apply to the firm and we will look at your results and see if you are a good cultural fit and have you interview with all the people here. You'll get to interview with Dr. Steenbarger as well and see if you're a good fit. So those are the two tracks to get into our place. I would say this about prop trading, which is I think it's a great time to be a prop trader. I only think it's going to get better. That's because of the way that we now get to use technology, which is easier than we have in the past. And I do hope, I do see this in the future, and maybe I'm being too optimistic. I do think that there are going to be more markets that trade like our US markets, or at least have more liquidity or more opportunity like our US markets in the world that exist right now. And when that happens, that's gonna just give us much more opportunity to be able to trade different ideas. And when I first started trading, the US markets pretty much, save for isolated instances, led everything. And that isn't true right now. And so as that expands, Asia will provide us more opportunities. India will provide us more opportunities. And I know I look forward to that. And that's gonna be a new fertile ground for prop traders, electronic traders, active traders that doesn't quite exist the way it will pretty soon overall.
Yeah, I'll just add one small piece to that. There are many, many, many unsuccessful traders who decide they're gonna make their money from markets by teaching other people to trade when they haven't been able to do it themselves. And in fact, you see them, they charge thousands of dollars and they are teaching the simplest of chart patterns that could be absorbed by reading alone. There are many unsavory characters in the trading education world. There are firms that are dedicated to truly growing people, that dedicate the resources to doing that. That's what your independent traders should be looking toward. find the places that are committed to education, find the places that are doing the kind of trading that interests you, and pursue your learning in the right way.
Exactly. I totally agree with you on that. In fact, that is also one of the main motivation why I decided to organize this online trading summit and try to curate whom I think are really those trading experts, educators who are really focused on teaching the right things to the budding traders out there. All right, guys, so this has been a really fruitful session for me, and I'm sure the summit participants feel the same way as well. So thanks again so much for your participation in this online trading
Thank
summit.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Philip.
My pleasure. So now, for those of you watching this summit video right now, if you would like to keep in touch with Mike or Dr. Steinberger and receive more free training from them, remember to click on the link below this summit video or head directly to tradingworkshop.com to learn more. With that, we have come to the end of this presentation and Q&A. I'm your summit host, Philip Teo, and I hope you will continue to get inspired by the rest of the summit speakers. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Trading Conversations. If you'd like to access past and future episodes of this podcast, please head to traderwave.com/podcast to learn more. That's it from me for now, my friends. I'm your host, Philip Teo, and I look forward to have you joining us again in the next episode of Trading Conversations.